Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Let's hear it for the boys. Let's give the boys
what
a
are you
hand.
Doing?
Yay, yay, and a diabolical hand. I'm Alex.
Yeah, I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are back on Let's Hear It for the Boys.
Back.
To talk about The Boys, Diabolical, the animated Woo-hoo! Spin-off of the main series that dropped on Prime Video over this past weekend as we're taping. If you haven't checked it out, it is 8 12 to 14 minute episodes inspired by and some potentially set in the world of The Boys, all from different creative teams. Think The Animatrix, a reference that everybody gets, or more specifically.
And everyone loves hearing about The Animatrix.
Yeah.
How would you compare
Star
this to
Wars Visions?
Anime?
Star Wars Visions, the came out
recently. What the fuck
probably.
Are you talking about?
Star That's Wars good. Visions. There's the same sort of thing with different teams taking on the world.
Does Star Wars Visions have a scene where somebody's poop comes to life and has an adventure with them? I don't think so.
Yes, it's later. Yes. It's the poop one, the Padawan poop.
He goes by the name of Ben Poop, and you don't know it's Poopwan until later on. It's pretty cool.
If you flush me down, I will become more powerful than you could ever imagine.
So we're going to break down all the episodes here. And before we get into that, though, let's talk about this project as a whole. I'll say I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I mean, this is very clearly a way of, this is going to come out wrong, but like killing time between the seasons because the new season isn't coming until June. They want to keep the fan base sated. They want to throw something new out there and expand the universe. But honestly, I'm glad they did because there's a lot of fun things in here that I really enjoyed quite a bit. How did you guys feel about it?
Sort of similarly, like I enjoyed it some naturally when you get any sort of like anthology series, you enjoy some more than others. And I like this reminded me obviously of The Boys, and it was nice to sort of get back into it a little bit. It feels like it's been forever. It also reminded me of another hit on Amazon, Invincible. And I think it's good to sort of be, it's almost like, hey, if you liked Invincible, you're definitely going to like this. It's very much in that same style. And here we are.
Also, it's a great reminder to go to comic book shops, and you can have 10 to 15 minute adventures per comic. I mean, there is one that's very meta where you like open up the comic and you zoom right in and there you go. So it's a nice kind of reminder like, hey, get off your ass and go to a comic book shop. You want some more of this action.
Get off your ass is the takeaway.
On the Invincible front, I will mention, and maybe I have the credits slightly wrong, but Simon Racciopa, who wrote the one with the Homelander origin story, or Homelander joining the Seven,
eighth one.
Yeah, is the guy who showran this whole thing. He also, I believe, showran Invincible along with Robert Kirkman and wrote a bunch of the episodes there. So I think that's why you're getting a lot of that feeling there is it's the same guy writing a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. And I think that's a smart move on Amazon's part. It's smart for both projects. That's what made it a success, I think.
Now, how best to go through these? I guess we can talk about maybe our highlights, our favorite episodes. Pete, I'll tell you, not to jump on your choice, but when I watch these episodes, I felt like I'm your pusher, the one that you hinted at before, the Garth Ennis one. That has to be your favorite one, right?
I mean, come on. I mean, it's definitely up there. I also really got enjoyed the anime one about the two elder people.
John and Sun He by Andy Samberg, of all people.
Yeah. He got to play the cameo with the security guard, which was great. But also, like, you know, you guys as parents had to really relate to the laser baby one, because you don't know when you're getting kids if they're going to have lasers shooting out of their eyes. So, like, there is that tension that all new parents deal with. So I don't want to pick your guys's, but that had to be laser baby had to be like right there for you.
It's one of those sort of things that all parents deal with.
Yeah.
Learning to change diapers, defending against laser baby eyes. Like, we've all been there.
Okay.
Did you have a favorite one, Justin, other than what Pete just gave you?
I liked both of those the best as well. I also, the John and Sun He one was so good. And the fact that it was written by Andy Samberg and had such sort of a sentimental, melancholy core to it, I thought was just a fun surprise. And the I'm Your Pusher, I thought was – it was just great to see Butcher out there again being Butcher. It felt like a comic book. It felt like the most of – like an actual boys episode. So I was definitely here for that. I also liked Boyd in 3D. I thought was a good sort of dark Gift of the Magi type story. Yeah. And then the Laser Baby's Day Out, like Pete mentioned, I thought was just a great, fun Acme cartoon from back in the day.
Yeah, it really had an Animaniacs feel to it, you know?
I'll give a shout out to one we didn't talk about yet, an animated short where pissed off soups kill their parents. That's from Justin Roiland, who does Rick and Morty and Solar Opposites and a bunch of other things. It feels exactly like that, straight out of that world, even more than the boys' world. But it made me laugh out loud a bunch of times, and I had a good time watching that one. So I thought that was very, very fun. The other one that I will give a shout out to that I mentioned earlier is the 1+1=2, the one that finds Homelander first joining the Seven, because that's the one to me, and I think a couple of these might apparently touch on some way on The Boys season 3, I've heard, but this is the one that felt like, okay, this is from The Boys TV show. The same way I'm Your Pusher is for The Boys comic books, this one is for The Boys TV show. And so it was neat to get to see this part of the history that we haven't seen before.
Plus, it's got the I was really impressed that we got the kind of actors who do these characters to do the voiceover, like Giancarlo here killing it as Stan Edgar. I was very happy with that.
Elizabeth Shue back as Stilwell, which I thought was great. Great scene
back,
there.
Black Noir back as Black Noir. You know,
great to hear that voice work from Black Noir. Really good.
Yeah. Motion cap. Let's talk through these then one at a time now that we've kind of called out our favorites. This is in no particular order, but why don't we start with Laser Baby's Day Out? This is written by Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen, and is directed by Crystal Chesney Thompson and Derek Thompson. And the animation style is inspired by classic American animated shorts.
Yes. And the original release date was March 4th, 2022. Are we reading the same page, Alex? Just kidding. Yes, I think that sums it up. I love that they stuck with like a dialogue-free, just great action, like old Bugs Bunny cartoon meets Itchy and Scratchy, essentially. A lot of blood spilled throughout this series, and this gave you a real indication of where you were headed in the blood department.
Plus, you know, evil villains with giant brains, they get so cocky, and you know, it's nice to see them taken down by a baby with lasers, you know what I mean?
Well, and clearly inspired as well by a classic American movie, Baby's Day Out, that we all know, that was Home Alone except with a baby. Do you guys know this movie?
I remember this movie, and I feel like you know this movie. You, like, love this movie?
I don't.
Isn't this
actually
like a baby crawling across?
I remember, it's basically a baby. It is straight up like Home Alone, but with a baby instead of Macaulay Culkin. The baby's crawling around the city. The scene in the construction site in Laser Baby's Day Out is pretty much straight up from Baby's Day Out. I watched it with my kids not too long ago because I hadn't watched it in like decades at this point. It's violent. Joe Montagna's in it and his crotch straight up gets set on fire. And he sits in the park and there's this whole situation where he can't move while his balls are being charred for a very long time. So it's very upsetting.
Charred.
It's literally on fire. Like his crotch is on fire and a cop is there and he can't move and it goes on for like 5 minutes. It's horrifying. But
wow. And that's what inspired you to have kids, become a father yourself.
Exactly. I saw that and I knew it was time. Yeah. Yes, I'm very fun, very stylistically clear what was going on here, but I think they did a nice job with it.
Invincibles was the inspiration for behind the baby lasers, but all right.
No. And of course, Laser Baby is a thing from the first season of the show. So it's nice to bring it back in that way in an entirely different way. Next up, we got an animated short where pissed off Supes kill their parents. This is written by Justin Roiland and Ben Bayuth, directed by Parker Simmons. And the animation style is inspired by Justin Roiland's aesthetic, which
no doubt.
Yeah.
This could have been an episode of Rick and Morty, just like straight up.
Yeah.
Packed with jokes, all the like horrible powers these people have, and then they go and brutally murder their parents. Like there's not a lot of other moral takeaways here.
What was the name of the character? Was it Papers? The guy who shows up in the middle and is like, you haven't seen
that's
me before.
Rick and Morty,
classic Rick and Morty style gag, but very funny. That made me laugh out loud. I don't know. I enjoyed it. It sounds like I enjoyed this one more than you guys.
I thought it was funny, but I will say, and I watched all these back to back, it's overwhelming, all of the violence. Like, I've seen so many organs watching these in such a quick way. Just a lot of schlooping body parts sliding out of people's hole-punched bodies.
But you rarely see, like, a slow-motion stab. So, I mean, that was creatively fun.
That was horrifying. That was straight up horrifying.
Plus Kristen Slater doing the, the narrator. I mean, it was really over the top and fun. Exactly what you would expect from The Boys. So I thought it was a very kind of, maybe not my favorite, but definitely fun in world kind of a scenario.
And Kristen Slater narrates your life, Pete, right?
Yes, and I should start up my GoFundMe because I'm running out of cash for that. Thank you for the reminder.
$200 a minute on Cameo.
Cameo is killing me on that, dude.
I'm Your Pusher, written by Garth Ennis, directed by Giancarlo Volpe. The animation style is an homage to the original The Boys comics. This was such an awesome surprise. We talk about this a lot on the podcast in terms of the TV show itself and how I think smart it is about making the material of The Boys comics work on screen, because it couldn't work on screen. But to your point earlier, Justin, this felt like, to me, it came from an alternate universe where after Invincible came out, then they released The Boys animated series, and this is what that would be.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's spot on. And it was having this be from Butcher's perspective was such a welcome. I was so happy to see that. He is, for me, watching The Boys, that's the POV I want. And so much of these were sort of from fucked up points of view. And his is also fucked up, but at least you're sort of like re-riding with him. He's the closest thing we have to a hero here.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it just makes me worried, Alex, about your drug problem. You think by doing it up your butt, it's really helping you out. But as we see in this, you're still playing with fire.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate the advice, but I'm going to keep doing it up my butt. The thing that I thought was particularly great about this, also just in the contrast between the live TV show and the way The Boys comic worked, is just going back to a world where all Supes are evil, because something that happens in the comics, it's a very clear line of black and white. Like, Supes are messed up all the time. The Boys' whole goal is to kill them. In the show, it's much more complicated. We get the point of view of the Seven. We understand where they're coming from, even when they're being absolutely awful, horrible people. So I don't know. It was nice to go back to this world where things are a little simpler, a little more straightforward, where it's just Butcher enjoying fucking up soups and Huey being like, oh, no. And yeah. Also, see, hearing Simon Pegg as the voice of Huey was a nice surprise as well.
Nice dropping. Yeah. And let me just say, just to be clear, when Alex talks about refusing to stop doing drugs up the butt, he's talking about just aspirin, Flintstone vitamins, just very day-to-day.
Pixie sticks.
That's, again, that's not a drug. And also, how are you enjoying it if you're just pouring it right into your
I taste it with my butt mouth. Boyd in 3D, written by Elliot Glazer, story by Elliot Glazer and Alana Glazer, directed by Naz Gadrati Azadi. Animation style inspired by French comics and animation.
Yeah.
Now, Justin, you particularly like this one. Why don't you talk about this?
I thought this was a nice story with some good turnarounds. Like, we meet these characters, it's like a nice romance, and we quickly realize they are poisoned by their own vanity and social media and are not nice people. And I like that it ends, it looks like it's going to end in such a sweet little way, and then it ends in a horribly vicious way.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It's, this one feels a little bit like, like, hey, we're all really gone off the deep end here with how much we care about Instagram and, you know, online presence and the kind of how that's warping our view of the world, you know.
But what do you have on main right now, Pete? What are you dropping on the grid?
I'm sorry?
What are you? I know you said you're obsessed with social media. I just want to know.
He's talking about the Tron grid when you're playing out there.
Oh, right.
You know,
right,
you have your light cycle. You're on the grid. You're going across. Mm-hmm. You can't cross the line because it's solid then. So
the idea of social media is what's happening in Tron. It's very fun to me. Played Hi-Li with neon sticks, man.
This one was all right, I thought. I thought it was fine. I thought it was pretty pointed in terms of social media.
Right.
There were some cute bits overall.
But
I did
well.
Like the dark turn. Yeah, I like the dark turn at the end.
Yeah.
Shout out to Colby Minifee in here as Ashley, one of my favorite characters from the TV show. And you got Kumail, former guest on our show from back in the day, and Emily Gordon, his wife.
He's killing it on that. That was funny.
Fun stuff. Next up, BFFs, written by Awkwafina, directed by Madeline Flores.
Weird.
Animation style is inspired by Saturday Morning Animation Imports. Pete, seems like you loved this one. So why don't you talk about this a little bit?
You know, the power of the poop, you know what I mean? It's really, it's beautiful. I mean, it seemed like Awkwafina got a little weird on it, but it was adorable and fun and ridiculous. And I'm glad that she finally told her mean girlfriends to, you know, fuck off because they were, you know, abusing her friendship. So it was nice to see her finally stick up for herself at the end.
Yeah, and got back to at them the way you should as a kid with poop coffee.
Yeah, you know, when in doubt, poop in their coffee.
Gross. I don't like poop jokes at all. They make me uncomfortable, but I think there was...
Yeah, coming from the man who just said, I'm going to keep doing it in my butt.
Yeah,
my butt mouth. You could dial this back 5 minutes in here. You say, I taste it with my butt mouth, and you're like, I can't tolerate poop jokes.
Yeah.
Pearl clutching about poop jokes. He's talking about butt mouths over here.
I don't know. There's a separation there in my mind.
Yeah,
I'm picturing a nice clean butt mouth.
Worse, my friend.
I don't want to get
worse.
Into this.
Where'd all the Alka-Seltzer go? Oh, Alex put them in his butt mouth.
Had to wash out those pixie sticks somehow. You know what I'm talking about? There is a sweetness and a niceness here and just a earnestness of pushing forward with this joke no matter what that I really appreciated by the end. That was the main thing that I was like, I don't know if I'm into this about halfway through, but then it just kept going and going and going and it never gave up and eventually won me over.
And Awkwafina is just fun. Like all of her performances, like if it's her voice or just the way she performs the characters that she plays, you're just like riding along with her. It's great. And I love Chase Crawford as the Deep. I think the Deep is one of the funniest pieces of the main show. Yeah. And anytime I see him playing here, it's great.
And I love the paranoid Seth Rogen in this. Was really fun. Like, just kind of like, he's odd to me. Like, that whole thing was a great use of Seth Rogen, too.
Then we got Nubian versus Nubian, written by Aisha Tyler, cousin of Justin Tyler, I believe, directed by Matthew Bordenave. And the animation style is anime inspired. What'd you guys think about this one?
Yeah, I mean, the ending really made it fun. The kid kind of being like, yo, fuck all this, was really great. Yeah, I mean, you felt bad for Hammer Hands, really bad. And it was a kind of a nice look at his life a little bit. I'm glad we got to kind of see like how shitty it would be if you're, you know, if you had those hands.
This one, for whatever reason, like bummed me out the most in a series of horrible violence the whole time.
When Old Tom Road started playing, it gave you a little hope.
It was cool. 100%. I'm not saying it was bad by any means, but like it was just sad. Like Groundhog's arc's so sad. and like even though we didn't have a ton of people getting murdered, that was sad. And then like the divorce side of it was sad. Like for some reason, it hit me a chord. And maybe that was the intention, but I was like, oh, I was a little heart hurt about it in my heart mouth.
Honestly, this was my least favorite of the bunch, I would say. I really loved the initial idea here that you had. What are the characters? It's like Nubian and Lady Nubian, or Nubian and Black Nubian.
Nubia and Nubian Prince.
Nubian Prince, there you go. Just the idea of playing with like nobody could come up with more creative names for black characters, I thought was so smart and so pointed. And then when it got into the bulk of the episode, I was kind of bummed out a little bit because there were a lot of good jokes throughout. But that first bit was so interesting and fun. I would have loved to see that play out over the course of it versus being the initial thing and then kind of pushed to the side, personally.
Yeah.
Let's move on and talk about John and Sun Hee, written by Andy Samberg, directed by Steve Ahn. The animation style is inspired by Korean drama and horror. Like we mentioned earlier, I was so surprised to find out that it was written by Andy Samberg, but such a smart metaphor going on here in terms of what happens with this woman's cancer and metastasizing it, growing, going out of control, using K-drama and horror to spin this out. I thought this one was great.
But also, like, really fun that Samberg voices the security guard and that is tased, and that's all we hear from him. It was just such a fun, like, when you hear the voice, you're like, oh, this character is going to be important throughout the whole rest of this. This is character's going to, nope. It was fun use of Samberg to kind of, like, dupe us a little bit with that. But, yeah, creatively, this was very moving. Like, you know, the end of it really felt like a Miyazaki kind of anime shout-out.
I was
going to
say, this must have been real. You love a Miyazaki.
I mean, the Golden Field is pretty much ripped from my favorite. So, Nausicaa, the Valley of the Wind. So, it was just a very kind of emotional ending for me.
Yeah, I agree. I love just how hard this went at this emotional story without having to be a bunch of jokes, which we got a lot of. So to vary the tone so much for the series, I thought this one was super successful.
And last but not least, we talked about it a little bit before, but 1+1=2, written by Simon Rakopia. Rakiopia. I'm sorry. I just bangled his name. Directed by Jay Kim and Giancarlo Volpe. Animation style is a darker take on American superhero animation. As I mentioned earlier, I thought this was great to, after this whole series of, I don't know exactly how it fits into the world of the TV show, this one being squarely in that wheelhouse was, I thought, was a really smart place to leave us.
Also, it was nice to kind of get in Homelander's head a little bit to the way he was telling these reporters his fucking origin story, completely lying. And the flashbacks we saw was so dramatic and so powerful and well done. It was really impressive. It was kind of impressive to see Homelander pull it off. Like, he is such a evil psychopath that has so many layers to him. But the back and forth between him and Black Noir was just also really, really enjoyable.
And I love that we find you feel sympathetic a bit to Homelander, someone who is hard to feel bad for.
Hard to feel, exactly.
In the main series, to have it here, and you like what after he messes up and blows the gun up with his heat vision, and he acts like a kid. He's like, oh no, okay, oh boy, what am I gonna do here? I thought that was like, you feel sorry for him despite the fact that he's about to continue to murder a bunch of these people, including the hostages, and to have Black Noir be the one that teaches him what he becomes.
Like, also, it's the fact that we kind of get the Elizabeth Shue character been kind of pulling his strings since the beginning, like really playing him like a fiddle, was such a creepy kind of addition as well. Yeah, Black Noir as a character is just constantly so well used. It's just, this was such a great use of Black Noir. And yeah. A very interesting origin story to how fucked up the seven are and the whole thing. It's this was a fun ride, man. This is definitely worth watching these for sure.
Shame what took Black Noir down, you know, at the end.
Right, Pete?
I mean, come on, man. Let's not ruin something.
Well, I agree with you, though, Pete. I agree with you, though, Pete. I thought this was a great ride. And despite what I said at the beginning of the podcast about this probably being partially to kill time between seasons, I would love to see another one. I hope they do more of these because it's fun seeing all these different creators play in here. Now, normally we end these episodes calling out who is best boy.
Well, I think we should just say, you know, kids, you know, regardless of if you do drugs up your butt or regulation style, you know, you still got to be wary of it. All right.
Yeah. Just follow the regulations. That's the big thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a crazy PSA that Pete just dropped in the middle of this episode. Time,
you know? If you would like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about The Boys. Here at number 4, The Boys on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time. Boys it up. I don't remember what we said.
I think our sign off was keep your butt mouth on Maine, right, Pete?
Oh, man.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.